The Word of Truth is sponsored in part by Paul Rents. Visit paulrents.com for party and equipment rentals.
Welcome to the Word of Truth, a ministry of Pastor Lars Larson and the First Baptist Church of Leominster, Massachusetts. It is our desire that our Lord use this broadcast to instruct, encourage, and strengthen both Christians and local churches in the New England region. Pastor Lars is always available to assist you. You may reach him at 978-660-8869. May today's message from our pastor be blessed by our Lord to instruct and encourage you through the Holy Scriptures, the Word of Truth.
Greetings, and thank you for listening to our program. We will pray and then resume our study of Romans 4 and its implications for our understanding the purpose and work of God in history. Our Father, we thank you again for having given us this record of the revelation of yourself and your ways to your people down through history. And we thank you that you've called us, we who have believed on your Son, to live for you and testify of you to this generation. For although we are seeing decay and deterioration on every level in the world about us, we know that Jesus Christ is the Lord of history and that he is executing your just and holy will in the earth. Father, may you help us to better understand your nature and your ways in history, so that we might better comprehend who we are and what you would have us know to declare to the world in which you have placed us. We thank you for having revealed your Son savingly to us. May you grant us grace that we might live to his glory as we seek to be governed and empowered by him to do the things that are pleasing in your sight. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In Romans 4, the Apostle Paul sets forth the patriarch Abraham to be the father of all believers in Jesus Christ, whether they are Jewish or Gentile by birth. It was not natural birth that made them children of Abraham, nor was it because some had devoted themselves to keeping the law of Moses. Rather, it was through faith alone that God had regarded Abraham as righteous in his sight, that is, justified by God, and that Abraham's sins were forgiven, and he's given the gift of righteousness through faith apart from works. And so all those who have the same kind of faith of Abraham are his spiritual children. In other words, the Israel of God. Now, the biblical teaching of Abraham being the spiritual father of both Jews and Gentiles who believe on Jesus really runs counter to much of what is taught today, due to the teaching of classical dispensationalism. That is, in my opinion, this is the case. That teaching, that theology, has dominated much of American evangelicalism since the beginning of the 20th century. Dispensationalism sets forth the ethnic Jewish people, physical descendants of Abraham, to be the citizens of true Israel to whom God gave his promises. And those who believe this see the political nation state of Israel, comprised of ethnic Jewish people, as the true people of God for whom God has favor. But again, Paul argues here in Romans 4, as do other New Testament writers, that the church is the recipient of God's promises to Israel through Abraham. And here in Romans 4, Paul argues this point. Abraham is the father not only of Jewish people who have faith, as their father Abraham had faith, but Gentiles also who have faith are also regarded as Abraham's children. Because the scriptures declared way back in Genesis that Abraham would be the father of many nations. In other words, Gentile nations. Now, in order to better understand the relationship between the nation of Israel and the church, toward the end of our last program, we began to rehearse some key passages of the Old Testament and see how God, through history, is bringing to pass all of his promises to the patriarchs in and through the New Testament church, which is the Israel of God, to whom all the promises of God are realized through Jesus Christ. Now, I would encourage you to listen attentively as we progress through these matters. We rehearse some Old Testament teaching. For although we may draw your attention to familiar passages and themes in doing so, I would like to show how they result in the conclusion that the Word of God teaches there's one people of God throughout history, people who possess saving faith. They are the Israel of God, comprised of Jewish and Gentile believers, rather than the commonly taught and assumed belief that there are two people of God, Israel and the church, that have two different destinies. Now, we've already considered some of the Old Testament background to these matters. When God had first called Abraham to faith, he was the father of the nation of Israel, ethnic Israel. Abraham, of course, originally was an idol worshiper, living in a land wholly given over to idolatry. But God, in his grace, revealed himself to Abram and promised him that he would be the father of a great nation. And so we read of God's commitment to bless the Jewish people, his Abraham's physical descendants, uniquely as an ethnic race and a corporate nation. We read of that in Genesis 12, 1 through 3. Now the Lord had said to Abram, "Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you," here it is, "all the families of the earth," in other words, Gentile families too, "in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Years later, when Abraham was dwelling in Palestine, God promised him that his physical descendants would one day possess the land of Palestine. And Genesis 13 records these promises of God to him. I'm reading in Genesis 13, 14 and following. "And the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, 'Lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward, for all the land which you see I give to you and your descendants forever. And I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also could be numbered. Arise and walk in the land through its length and its width, for I give it to you.'" Here we see that God had bound himself to show favor to Abraham's physical descendants, the Jewish people. They would be great in number. And one day, from Abraham's perspective, his descendants would possess what came to be known as the Promised Land. Well, let's now turn to Genesis 15, where we read of further details of God's plan for Israel. Now, this is verse 13 of chapter 15. "Then God said to Abram, 'Know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, and will serve them, and they will afflict them 400 years. And also the nation whom they serve I will judge. Afterward they shall come out with great possessions. Now as for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried at a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall return here, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete.' And it came to pass, when the sun went down and it was dark, that behold, there appeared a smoking oven and a burning torch that passed between those pieces. On the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying," here it is, "'to your descendants I have given this land.'" Now that would be his physical descendants, "'from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates.'" And so, certainly, Abraham's descendants did go down into Egypt and abode there 400 years. But according to God's promise, the time came. He brought Israel out of bondage through Moses, and he gave them possession of the Promised Land in fulfillment of his promise. And it's recorded in Joshua 21, 43 through 45. Now, this is important, for dispensationalists argue that Israel never possessed all the Promised Land, and therefore it must be realized in the future. But that's not what the biblical record declares. The Bible declares that God was faithful in fulfilling all his promises to Abraham with respect to the land. And so we read in Joshua 21, 43 through 45. "And so the Lord gave to Israel all the land of which he had sworn to give to their fathers. And they took possession of it and dwelt in it. The Lord gave them rest all around according to all that he had sworn to their fathers. And not a man of all their enemies stood against them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. Now listen. And this is Joshua 21:45. Not a word failed of any good thing which the Lord had spoken to the house of Israel. All came to pass. But God had made a covenant with his people that Israel would be a special nation preferred above all Gentile nations only if their covenant faithfulness was maintained before God. And so God had said to Moses in Exodus 19:4-6, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now therefore, now listen, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people. He's speaking about the Jewish nation of Israel, above all the Gentile nations. I read on, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. And Moses did. Moreover, God bound himself to Israel that they would remain in the promised land only if they ordered their national life according to his law. You see, it was contingent upon their obedience to the law of God, that covenant that God made with them at Mount Sinai. And so Deuteronomy 5, verse 32 reads, therefore you shall be careful to do as the Lord your God has commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. You shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live, so that it may be well with you, that you may prolong your days in the land which you shall possess. And we also read of this legal covenant stipulation in Deuteronomy 30, verses 15 through 20. See, I've set before you today life and good, death and evil, in that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments, his statutes, his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. Now here is Deuteronomy 30, verse 17. But if your heart turns away, so that you do not hear, and you're drawn away, and you worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. I call heaven and earth as witnesses to you, against you, that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing, and therefore choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, that you may cling to him. For he is your life and the length of your days, and here it is again, that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. And so when God brought his people Israel into the promised land, God was faithful to give them all that land that he had promised to give to the patriarchs of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now our dispensational friends attempt to argue that although God had given Israel much of the land promised, there never was a time in which Israel possessed all the land that God had promised to them. They argue, therefore, that the Jewish people are yet to experience the full realization of God's promise to them. And many Christians believe the modern state of Israel, therefore, has a biblical warrant over all the land from the border of Egypt to the Euphrates River, which is located in present-day Iraq. And many seek to encourage the state of Israel to take all of that land aggressively. After all, it's theirs by right, it's argued. But we would argue that the land grant that God promised to Abraham's physical descendants was given to them in full, not in part. Now consider two passages of Scripture that were stated in a manner to clearly show God had been true to all of his promises. All had been fulfilled. We read in Joshua 23, toward the end of Joshua's lifetime of subduing the promised land, these words of God. Behold, this day I'm going the way of all the earth. This is Joshua speaking. And you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. All have come to pass for you. Not one word of them has failed. That's Joshua 23:14. But again, God's promise for physical Israel to continue to occupy that land as its own was contingent upon its ordering its national life according to the Mosaic covenant, the Ten Commandments. But when Israel failed to keep its covenant, but had broken it, God jettisoned those people from the land. And consequently, the land that God had promised his people is not that little bit of land on this earth in this time, in this history, but rather God has promised the inheritance of a new heaven and a new earth, which the promised land was but a figure, a foretaste, that the true people of God, the spiritual children of Abraham, would one day inherit. And the writer to the Hebrews in the New Testament reveals how Abraham never viewed the land of Canaan as his actual full possession. He lived in tents because Abraham saw this life and this world as transitory. Abraham lived anticipating a new Jerusalem in a new world, as we read in Hebrews 11, verse 9 and following. By faith, Abraham dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country. He didn't see that as his homeland, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Why? For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And a little later we read, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. The writer to the Hebrews says that Abraham was looking for that new Jerusalem, that new heavens and new earth, and people of faith have always looked to that promise of God. God had granted physical Israel as a political entity possession of an earthly Canaan, but it was conditioned on its obedience to God's law. And we would argue that Israel never kept God's law fully or consistently throughout its history. Israel broke its covenant with God. And so the time eventually arrived when God brought the curses of his covenant upon his people, judging them and ejecting them from the land. And we read of God's judgment upon the northern kingdom of Israel in 2 Kings 18:9 through 12. And now it came to pass in the fourth year of King Hezekiah, which was the seventh year of Hosea, the son of Elah, the king of Israel, that Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, came up against Samaria. That was the capital city of Israel, the northern kingdom. Came up against Samaria and besieged it. And at the end of 3 years they took it. And now we read, the king of Assyria carried Israel away captive to Assyria and put them in Hala and Habor, the river of Gozan, in the cities of the Medes. And here's the explanation in 2 Kings 18:12, because they did not obey the voice of the Lord their God, but transgressed his covenant and all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded, that they would neither hear nor do them. And then, over 100 years later, Judah, the southern kingdom, also fell under God's judgment for the same reason. This is 2 Kings 24:18 through 20. Zedekiah was 21 years old when he became king, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libna. He also did evil in the sight of the Lord according to all that Jehoiakim had done. And here it is. For because of the anger of the Lord, this happened in Jerusalem and Judah, that he finally cast it out of his presence. And so God punished Israel and rejected Israel from the land because it had broken that covenant at Mount Sinai that had made Israel, that ethnic people, that nation, peculiar and special above all the nations of the earth. Nevertheless, because God had sworn to the patriarchs, as well as to King David, that he would preserve his people forever, God promised to send a Savior, the Messiah, who would redeem his people from their guilt and restore them to his favor. And so God promised that he would not do this for all Israel, however, for they were under his curse, but rather he would do it for a remnant of his people. A remnant would be a small percentage of his former nation upon which he would bestow his grace in order that he be true to his promises to the fathers. And God had spoken repeatedly through his prophets of his intention to save a remnant of Israel. The remnant that God refers to are those Jews that survived his judgment after having been exiled from the land to Babylon, but later returned. And God sent his Messiah to those people to save his people from their sins. And we read in the Gospels in the New Testament of our Lord's direct but limited mission to Israel in fulfillment of God's promise. Jesus said he came only attempting to reach the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Matthew 15:21 and following. But upon Christ's death and resurrection, all this changed. With his death and the proclamation of his gospel to Israel, God was just and right now to turn from Israel and to expand the kingdom of God to encompass Gentiles also. In other words, Jesus Christ could commission his church to make disciples of all the nations, not just disciples from the nation of Israel. And this, too, was a fulfillment of the word of God of the Old Testament. If we had time, we would read all of Isaiah 42:1-9, but we don't. But there we have a prophecy of God the Father speaking to his Son prophetically. And here God the Father says to his Son, I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the Gentiles. You see, that's being realized in this church age. Now that's Isaiah 42:6. And later on in Isaiah 49, we read the same thing, verses 1-6, where God announces to the Gentiles, listen, O coastlands. You see, that's where the Gentiles live. Listen, O coastlands, to me, and take heed, you peoples from afar. And this is the Son of God speaking prophetically. The Lord has called me from the womb, from the matrix of my mother. He has made mention of my name, and he's made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand he's hidden me, and he made me a polished shaft. In his quiver he's hidden me, and he said to me, you are my servant, O Israel. Now that's prophetically of Jesus Christ, the true Israel of God. Out of Egypt have I called my son, is what's said of Jesus in Matthew. And now I read in verse 5 of Isaiah 49. And again, this is God the Father prophetically speaking to the Son. And now the Lord says, who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him so that Israel is gathered to him. There's that remnant. For I shall be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. And now here it is. Listen. Now this is the Son of God speaking prophetically. Indeed, he says, it's too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel. That would be the remnant. I will also give you as a light to the Gentiles so that you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth. And that is a prophecy of this current church age. The New Testament church age is the fulfillment for the Old Testament prophecies that spoke of these days. Peter declared in his sermon in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 3, yes, all the prophets from Samuel and those who follow, as many as have spoken, have also foretold these days. What Peter was declaring there, that in and through the church, the promises of God to Israel are being realized. He also declared this in his sermon in Acts chapter 3, where he spoke of Moses foretelling the prophet who would come, a prophet who would be like unto Moses. And Peter declared that those who refused to embrace that prophet, that being Jesus Christ, would be cut off from among the people. In other words, there's continuity of Israel, continuing from believers of the Old Testament into the New, and all those who believed on Jesus Christ continued to be Israel. All those who refused to believe on that prophet, Jesus, were cast off from his people. As Peter declared, for Moses truly said to the fathers, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you. And it shall be that every soul that will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. And so the true people of God are those who are Jewish, who embraced Jesus as their Messiah, but also Gentiles who embrace Jesus as their Messiah as well. And so this kingdom of God overruled by Jesus Christ, has expanded throughout the entire world. The church is the Israel of God. Believers in Jesus Christ, whether Jewish or Gentile, are children of Abraham. Until next time, may the grace of God be abundantly granted to you.
We trust that God has blessed you from listening to Dr. Lars Larson. Today's program, as well as previously recorded messages, are available through our website. We invite you to visit thewordoftruth.net. The First Baptist Church of Leominster and concerned friends have sponsored this broadcast of The Word of Truth. If we may assist you by directing you to a sound, reformed church near you, please contact us. If Pastor Larson can assist you further or answer a question that you may have about today's subject, he would be pleased to speak with you. You may reach him at 978-660-8869. Until our next time together, may our God bless you richly through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Today's The Word of Truth program was sponsored in part by Paul Rentz. Visit PaulRentz.com for party and equipment rentals.